There are many advocates in this parish. Some of you have spent your working life doing this. Maybe it's even your job title to be an advocate for people with disabilities, for children, for the elderly. Others of you might have found yourself falling into this as the world has needed it. You might find yourself advocating these days for women's rights, for gay and trans rights, for the earth, for immigrants. Makes a big difference to have an advocate in the world, as any of us who have been a patient at any time certainly know. I'm thinking of a man in our parish who's been in the hospital for a long stay. His wife is a retired nurse, and she has helped him every single day, translating medical terminology so he can understand, interpreting his chart for him, and maybe above all, speaking up for what he needs when he's either not able to do so himself because he's having a confused day or because he's feeling weak. It's because she knows him so well that she's able to do this in a way that goes beyond what any other nurse might even think to do. For a few days, this fellow's numbers on his chart were going in the wrong direction. Due to a glitch, his wife wasn't able to get in to see the chart for a while. And after a little bit, she succeeded in getting folks to help her see it again. And the moment she did, her knowledge of medicine and her knowledge of him combined, and she asked his medical staff, had they thought of just tweaking the dosage of this one seemingly unrelated medicine? And they did so, and overnight, his numbers started going in the right direction again. So that's the power of having an advocate. And in today's gospel, Jesus gives us this powerful promise. He tells us that we have an advocate, the Holy Spirit, and she is going to be for us the very same thing, someone who knows us better than we know ourselves, someone who protects, defends, fights for us when we're feeling weak or vulnerable, someone who will speak up for us when we can't speak up for ourselves. The advocate is given to you and to me. She's here for all of us. So we never have to feel abandoned, and we never have to feel that we depend only on our own strength. And the gift that follows from knowing that is peace. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, Jesus says. And he adds, not as the world gives peace, do I give you peace. So what does the world tell us peace is? We can see that sometimes the world tells us peace is a sort of enforced calm that's brought about with displays of military might, tanks, and weaponry. Sometimes we think of peace as a stretch when nobody argues with each other. And sometimes we all long for that, of course. Or sometimes we think of peace as a purely internal thing, sort of an inward state of mind that we have to guard closely and maybe keep others away from. I liked something that Pope Francis wrote about this. He said, "The world gives you inner peace as if it were your own possession, like something that's yours that isolates you from others that you keep to yourself, a personal acquisition. I am at peace." And without realizing it, you close yourself up in that peace. It's only for you. And in that tranquility, it can lull you to sleep. It anesthetizes you and makes you stay within yourself. Peace for me, closed up in myself. The peace that Jesus gives, Francis says, is another thing. It doesn't isolate you. It makes you go toward others. It creates community and it creates communication. So I like that. Some peace is something active and communal that sort of radiates outward from us and gentles the world. The other day, one of my friends posted a picture of her 10-year-old son playing soccer. Or actually, I should say, a picture of him standing on a soccer field. Because the caption beneath the photo read, "They kept trying to get him to play defense or to race down the field to score goals, but all he wanted to do was pick dandelions." And if you look closer, you can see that indeed this little boy is standing there in his soccer jersey with the ball just way off at the edge of the frame. And he's standing there having this energetic discussion with a teammate, telling the teammate all about the single little ratty yellow flower held in his hand like that. Is there a part of us that resonates with that? All around us, we have these messages that tell us we should be competing, we should be focused on winning, we have to be defensive, have to be aggressive, have to be the fastest or the strongest, we have to play the game. But deep down, maybe we'd rather just pick dandelions. We'd rather be about gentleness and beauty and awe before the smallest living thing. My friend's picture was shared and reshared and reshared. Dozens of people commented saying that they agreed with her son, that he seemed to have found a good life philosophy. And like the other members of his team, we were drawn to his enthusiasm for the little dandelion. And we started to share it ourselves. And my friend's little boy, this is the great thing about this, was still in the midst of the action. He hadn't stormed off the field. He just was playing by a different set of rules than everybody else was. So that seems like a beautiful way for us to be as spiritual people also. Not disengaged, not apart from the world, still immersed in life and other people and all the messiness, but detached from the prevailing currents. Stay in the world, but change the game and draw others into a better way. I think that's what Jesus would have us do. Recently, I met a woman who was interviewing for a job, and she told me a little about her life. She had overcome many, many hard things, even just recently, to get where she was. So I said to her something like, wow, you must be so resilient. You must feel really good about yourself to have learned that you can be strong when you need to. And she grew quiet for a moment. Then she remarked, yes, I'm glad I've learned I can do hard things. I'm glad to know I can be strong. And right now, she added, I just want to live softly. And how right she is. All of us can get caught in thinking that because we can do hard things, that we must only do hard things all the time. And we can start to move through life with our face set, as if we're walking into a snowstorm and anticipating a hard slog the entire way. But not every day has to be a fight. It's okay to want to live softly and to exist gently and peacefully and harmoniously on the earth. Last week, Jose Mujica died. You might know his claim to fame was being the world's poorest president. Well, president of Uruguay, he lived in a small farmhouse and made a living, small living, as a flower grower. As a young man wanting to be a liberation fighter for the poor, he started out a proponent of guerrilla warfare and violent revolution. But eventually he got turned around, realizing that violence brought more harm than good. Hate makes us all more stupid, he remarked. He ran for public office as an advocate for a more moderate way. On the night he was elected, he didn't give a triumphalist victory speech. But he did take to the microphone and apologize to his opponent, confessing to using rhetoric that might have been a little too harsh at times. And he said to the losing candidate, "Tomorrow we shall walk together." When he was offered a presidential motorcade, he opted instead for a Volkswagen Beetle. His farm was described as ramshackle, something that had an immediate effect on the people of the country because they had grown so tired of presidents awash in gold and wealth and opulence that they took that in at a gut level and they internalized this was going to be the start of a new era when leaders did not live above the people anymore. Hyper-consumerism is destroying the planet, Mujica commented. And he resolutely lived the rest of his life simply in an effort to stand against that tide. He embodied an active peace, gentle but effective, always rippling outward. Peace not as the absence of conflict, but peace as the presence of a Christ-like way of life, a life built on putting others and the earth at the center of his days. It's possible for us to live like this. Life doesn't have to be all fight. We don't have to compete and struggle for dominance and prove ourselves. Because even when we might not feel that we have the right words, when we might not feel strong enough or brave enough or wise enough, we do not depend only on our own strength. We have an advocate, the Holy Spirit. And with her in our corner, we know that all will be well. Amen.